For some reason, I feel like I was just here. These months just seem to be going by quickly for me. I don't know about you, but it's March, and it's the first week of March, and here we are.
Time is speeding up. Yes, it really is. Yeah.
In Columbus with Mayor Linup, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
I wanted to start first at the State House, and then we'll move our way to Columbus and just get your maybe any impressions, or because we're at that halfway point, as they call it, the legislators saying if this was a sporting event, we'd be at the halftime show. So anything stick out to you right now?
Well, the bias crime legislation is, you know, an important issue for all of us. You know, Columbus, we've got a number of minority individuals. We've got a pretty diverse population, so that leads to a variety of minorities. And we've heard from a number of those folks that they would really like to see Indiana join the rest of the nation, you know, in terms of trying to provide some kind of protection for them. So we've expressed that to our legislators, and we'll see what happens.
I was just with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight last week, and he spoke. He said the exact same thing.
Really?
He said he thinks there's a disconnect from rural legislators and those in cities, and that Indiana is only good as our cities. So in other words, if the cities are prosperous, then Indiana is prosperous. So,
well, Mayor Goodnight's a bright guy. Yeah.
And I mean, so you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think sometimes the legislators get a little tone deaf. You know, they just don't necessarily hear what some of the diversity, what some of the populations say. And what they're telling us is that they feel oftentimes that they are the object of whatever the activity is, merely because of who they are, you know, because of their skin color or their national origin or, you know, what have you. And that's just not right. And so, you know, all they're asking for is a little bit of assistance. So when it comes to sentencing time, after a person's already been convicted, you know, it's when it comes to sentencing time that some recognition can be given to, you know, to their status and the situation they were placed in simply because of who they are.
And we talk about major employers. I know Cummins here has been very vocal, too, in wanting the hate crimes legislation. But then I think of other ways that cities in Indiana try to keep big employers to not only stay in Columbus, but Indiana. And you think about manufacturing jobs as technology changes. I mean, there's a lot of different moving parts to employment. What does Columbus, or maybe you can zero in a little bit more on, how does Columbus keep these big manufacturer plants here in Indiana?
Well, one of the things that we do that a lot of communities don't is we poll people. We ask, you know, how welcoming are we? You know, what are we doing right? What do we need to improve upon? And so we actually reach out, you know, to people who would be in these groups, if you will, and ask them for their impressions. A lot of places don't do that. We're very purposeful about it. And part of what they tell us is that, you know, we need, for example, to find a better way for them to get involved. I mean, these are people who want to live here. They want to make this their home. And so as a community, how can we not just be welcoming, but bring them in, so to speak, into the corridors of power? You know, how do we allow them to know what's going on? I mean, it's surprising to me. People will complain that Columbus is a boring place, and then they'll tell us that there's so much going on they can't keep track of it all. You know, and so we need to find a way to communicate that out in an easy way. A community calendar is a phrase that is often given to that, but those are hard to manage, and you know, it takes a little bit of work and a little bit of money, and so it really isn't. We haven't satisfied that need as well as we could have. So those are a couple things that we're going to try to work on here this next year.
In terms of these manufacturing jobs and changing technology, where it's replacing a lot of people, is that something that is in the back of your mind too?
Well, you know, we hear that there are a lot of jobs, and we do know that within the next few years, 2/3 of all jobs in the United States will require some kind of a degree beyond high school, some kind of a certification or education beyond high school. And if that's true nationwide, we're probably a little further ahead of the curve than that. And so so one of the things we've done, or that we have here in Columbus, is an advanced Center for Manufacturing Excellence. Probably butchered the name there, but a Center for Advanced Manufacturing Excellence, perhaps that's it. But the whole notion is to try to prepare a workforce that will be able to do the computerized robotic type manufacturing that we expect to happen, you know, in the next 10 to 15 years. And so, you know, we're trying to get out ahead of that, and we're trying to offer those classes in multiple languages so that, you know, we can welcome people from all kinds of backgrounds. But it's that's a challenge. You know, it continues to be, you know, something that we know will make us a differentiator from other communities, We think it'll give us a competitive advantage when compared to, you know, other cities up and down I-65. And so, yeah, those are things we've adopted to try to be a little purposeful about.
And diversifying, too. I know we talked a few months ago about a partnership with Bloomington and the Dimension Mills. The Mills, a business starter, for those who don't know, the partnership kind of gets you in line with some grant money.
Right.
And is that moving forward?
It's moving forward. The state of Indiana, through their Elevate Ventures program, is interviewing for what they call an entrepreneur in residence. And that process has taken a little bit longer than I thought it would, but they're trying to find the right person and get off to a good start. And when that does, or when that happens, that's really when the program sort of kicks in.
So once that person gets hired, what would be the next step?
Well, the next step would be for that person to sort of ingratiate him or herself into the communities, sort of understand what the assets are that both Columbus and Bloomington bring to the fore, and then begin to work with entrepreneurs. We want that person to be purposeful in terms of reaching out, you know, go find entrepreneurial types. But we've already got a little bit of a network here that's centered around the chamber and some of the business professionals here in town, be they lawyers, accountants, or bankers.
With the end goal to bring people to startups to that mill?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily an attractor, but what we want to do is try to help those who are here who wish to start a business, and particularly if they're in what we consider to be a growth area. IT comes to mind, but I don't think it's limited to that. But we've got several of them here who have tried to or are developing. I don't know if they rise to the level of artificial intelligence type products, but those kinds of things, and we want to be able to give them access or help them get access to markets and to financing.
You know, the follow-up to that would always be that next step for those new businesses, because it's one thing when there's one or two of them,
right,
and they're in a small type of incubator, and then now they have 10 employees, and now they get 20. You know, that to me is where are the efforts there to keep them in Indiana?
Right, yeah. That's a challenging part. I mean, you know, where you start with two or three people, and you've got sufficient volume to make that work. Your next step up might be a client that might require you to hire five. I need five to service these people in the peak time, but maybe not year round. And so we're hopeful that we can help in a situation like that find other customers so that the business can continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. And then there's infrastructure, amenities that you mentioned earlier, Envision Columbus, long-term plans for improving downtown in the city, and I assume you probably have some updates for us on State Street construction and things like that.
Well, since you're talking streets, we'll back up a few steps and talk about potholes. I mean, it's a pothole time of year, and I got a report from our Public Works Department that we filled 8,600 potholes last year. And so Columbus, you know, we get 250 miles of streets, so you can do the math in terms of how often they show up. But they're a little bit like mushrooms, you know. They're here, they're not here one day, then pop up the next. But State Street, what we call Phase 1 and Phase 2, phases 1 and 2A are finished. So that basically takes you from the State Street Bridge out east to, say, Indiana Avenue. What we're going to work on next is 2B. There'll be a bid awarded tomorrow at our Board of Works meeting. That'll be on Tuesday, March 5th, where we hope to be able to complete or start Phase 2B. And what that will do would be start again at the State Street Bridge, but this time move west. And we'll move west down 3rd Street till we get to California, and then north to 5th Street. And it's not that far. I mean, it's probably about three blocks or something like that in linear length, but it'll be a significant restoration or rebuild of the street in that area. We'll be taking out some sewer lines, water lines, and replacing those, rebuilding the street basically from the dirt up. New curbs, new sidewalks, we're going to reposition some utilities. It'll become a much more of an entree or entrance into the downtown area. Because in Columbus, once you sort of get people to once you get them to 5th Street, well, that's the artery into downtown. It's what we call the Avenue of the Architects, and it's sort of the head or the focus of our entertainment area. So that'll get us, from State Street Bridge up to 5th Street. And I think that's going to take care of us for a while with respect to the State Street projects.
I wanted to ask you about, I saw an article in the Columbus Republic about the city planning to annex and rezone 25 acres for a proposed assisted living facility. Mm-hmm. Does anyone live on that 25 acres right now?
Nope, I don't believe so. I think it's vacant. There are neighbors, obviously, but there's no residents on there right now.
So this isn't the bill there's a bill in the State House right now about annexation. And
there's always a bill in the State House about annexation. There's usually about two dozen of them.
Yeah. I think the main one that I read about was 51% of those living have to approve. And that's what we saw in Bloomington, where so many people were against the annexation, but they already lived on the land.
Right.
And so in some ways you're looking ahead, or the city is looking ahead in taking land into the city limits before it gets built on.
Yeah. City of Columbus, the way it's been explained to me, there are three types of annexations. You can have involuntary, voluntary, and super voluntary. And the City of Columbus has only done super voluntary annexations for probably about the last 30, 35 years. I mean, basically, it's people who want to be in the city, or it's a developer who wants to be in the city because they want city services. And they know it'll be a little bit easier for them to sell the houses that they build if they are served by city sewer, city water, police and fire, and so forth. This particular project envisions a retirement community. There'll be a big building in the center that would be sort of like an assisted living facility, and then individual cottages or houses, duplexes around the perimeter of that. So again, a 55 and older type community.
Do you see any plans in the future for more annexation, or are there areas that you think the city should be?
Well, there are always people who come to us, and they want to try to add here or add there. But candidly, we're getting sort of close to the end. I mean, there's always a way to add, right? I mean, you can always just tack on a little bit. But it begins to get expensive because now you have to extend the sewer and the water lines. I mean, with the particular 25 acres you're talking about, I mean, we've got it surrounded or pretty close to it. With sewer and water and with roads. I mean, nobody's going to have to extend any kind of artery out to this place. But if you think about other areas that might make sense, it gets expensive because of the having to extend the infrastructure items we just talked about.
I wanted to get an update on Fair Oaks Mall that the city now owns, but now is looking for someone to come and design and develop it. Is that
right,
the next stage?
We've put out some requests for qualifications to, I want to say, six firms that would act as a master site planner. You know, we've got 35 and a half acres. We've got 400,000 square feet under roof. And that may sound like a lot, but once you begin to carve out a little bit for this and a little bit for that, it goes pretty quickly. You know, we know that we will need to retain a retail presence. If you're familiar with the site, Dunham's is on the eastern end. Columbus Regional Health is a 25% partner with us, and so they're going to want about 25% of the property. We don't know, yet whether it'll be in the middle or at the other end, but in our mind's eye, we sort of focused on Carson, so the former Carson space. We also know that we want to build an indoor sports complex. They're about 150,000 square foot enclosed a facility that would house a soccer field and a half. And whether you put that in the parking lot or you tear down some of the building that's already there to slip this in the middle between those two parts I just mentioned, that's what we need to determine. We want to try to be sure that we tie this into the existing People Trail system that we have. We want to make sure that we tie it into Lincoln Park, which is right across the street. We know that we will want to bring the park's administrative offices up from Donner Center. We will also want some event space, just some rooms where people can come and have either a reception or a luncheon or whatever the case may be. So there are a number of different uses that we've got in mind for this, and just how all this gets coordinated and how it gets phased in is part of what we'll be studying here over the next 6 months or so. We also anticipate a good portion of public comment. When we did the Envision Columbus process, I want to say we had five or six public meetings where people came and they had their little yellow, stickies, post-it notes kind of thing, and were able to, walk around, look at the walls, and sort of vote for whatever idea that was appealing to them. So I anticipate a process very similar to that, and we hope to get started here within, maybe another month.
And your State of the City address was there?
Well, we'll be there.
Okay.
That'll be March 7th, which is Thursday. And yeah, the doors open at 5:30 and the address starts at 6. And, what we've done the last, since I've been in office, is move that event around and find a way to sort of showcase different locations in the city that residents may have been to, maybe not. We started out at the Learning Center, which is on the campus at IUPUC and Ivy Tech, but it's also there at the airport, so it gives people an opportunity for us to talk about the airport to them. We've met at Donner Center so that folks could get a little bit of a feel for the state of affairs there at our 75-year-old parks facility. And then we met at the Commons to talk about drugs because we needed a bigger facility, a big crowd. But yeah, we're going to do this one at Fair Oaks Mall. The whole notion is to let the community come in and see firsthand what I call a paradigm shift in real time. I mean, it's 400,000 square feet, and at one point it was full, bustling. And you walk through there today, and you just sort of got to marvel at what happened. And of course, we walk, you drive around the country or, central Indiana, you see this everywhere. But it's impressive when you see it up close, right? So that's part of what we're trying to do, let people understand the need for us to step in there.
That huge empty parking lot when you drive through, it does.
Yeah.
You wonder, is it even open?
Right, yeah.
Any preview of your State of the City address? Anything that we should keep an eye out for?
There won't be any great revelations. I mean, pretty much the stuff that we've talked about here. We'll have an update, not only the mall, like just what I just presented, but we'll talk a little bit about heroin and our substance abuse programs and a few other items. Around walk around town, so to speak.
Yeah, you mentioned the airport, and it just made me remember about plans, or maybe possible plans for new control tower.
Yeah,
is that happening?
Well, we've made an application. The FAA pretty much controls what goes on at the airports, and so we've made an application with them to construct a new tower. They would need to provide the majority of the funding. They're not cheap, as you can well imagine. But the tower that we have there is, 60 years old. And, we worry about it, becoming technologically obsolescent or just damaged someday because of its age. So we're hopeful we can get a new tower, and we've made an application with the FAA for that.
And the Columbus Airport is growing and still...
Oh, it's a remarkable story. I mean, we continue to rank number 4 in Indiana in terms of volume of takeoffs and landings, and there's some kind of construction activity underway out there all the time.
I saw there was a welcoming community survey.
Right.
And the headline of the paper said that the results say it's improving, but not evenly.
Well,
so I'd ask you, what does that mean?
Well, is the glass half empty or is it half full? And the truth of the matter is that we can always do better. There's always room for improvement. But just like I mentioned earlier, when people come to a new community, when they come to Columbus, particularly if they come from a foreign country or they come from a place where now all of a sudden they don't look like the majority of folks that they see, they're always curious as to how they're going to be received and welcomed. And so, again, we are purposeful about trying to reach out and ask those folks how they feel about it. But it's important for us to listen, to what they have to say and to respond. So, again, a couple of the things that they mentioned, we're just trying to understand how to get involved. You've moved to this community, moved new to Columbus. Well, if I'm interested in the park system and I'd like to volunteer, how would I do that? And at the same time, if I want to find out what's going on, if I want to understand what the activities are that are available in this community this weekend, where do I go to check that out? And so those are a couple of things we need to do to try to improve how well we score on the welcoming spectrum.
Yeah. That was all I had, but I know there's a city council meeting. Is it Tuesday night?
There'll be a city council meeting tomorrow night. And the only real item of significance that I recall is a request for a tax abatement related to what I call the Home Avenue apartments. They may have another name for them, but at Home Avenue and 17th Street, there's an old church building that is in pretty advanced state of disrepair. And so some folks have come along and they are interested in trying to rehabilitate that. But as you can well imagine, when you get an old building, candidly, sometimes it's cheaper just to tear them down, but these folks are interested in trying to restore this and convert it to a modern-day use, market-rate apartments. And so they've asked for a tax abatement, and we'll be moving through that, or the council will be moving through that decision.